Happy Easter. Easter is meant to be full of surprises, and sometimes at St. John's, it's whether your microphone is going to get you through the whole gospel or not. And that's okay, because I didn't give you the gospel in your lectionary this morning because I really wanted you to hear it. So you might have heard it. But it's okay, we're going to go over it together. Easter is meant to be about surprise. And you remember when you were a child how you would be surprised by whatever the Easter bunny might have brought. I remember one year my father was visiting us when I lived in Kelowna, and we had bought him a beautiful chocolate tractor. My father was in his 70s at the time and had been a dairy farmer all his life. It was the best Easter chocolate he had ever received. For him, it represented new life and resurrection and great memories. And so a surprise. And it's hard for us to be surprised. The older we get sometimes, the less surprising life seems. And yet we can rediscover that through looking through our children's eyes and other people's eyes who see things differently than ourselves. So today, let's look at the gospel with fresh eyes. Imagine what it must have been like to have had your best friend and mentor killed, and there you were looking to see his body, just to know that it had actually happened in your grief. And to go on the first day of the week, while it's still dark, very early in the morning, to see the tomb. And Jesus wasn't there. The tomb was empty, the stone was rolled away, and what Mary was looking for, her friend, her mentor, at least some proof that he had actually died, was gone. So she goes and runs. And we never notice in the gospel often all the action words. She ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple and got them and brought them back. And it must be the most wonderful line in almost the entire scripture when it says, "Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first." They were racing. They were racing on that first Easter morning because they were surprised and caught up in the moment and trying to find out what had happened. So we didn't exactly, I don't know about you, but I didn't race here this morning, did you? I was here early, not quite before it was light, but I didn't race. And they were racing. Imagine what it would have been like if we had all raced here this morning to see and experience Easter for the first time. And then they went in and saw the stuff lying there, the linen wrappings, and no Jesus. But the second disciple, he saw that it was gone, Jesus was gone, and he believed. So his experience of surprise turned into something much bigger. It turned into faith in what Jesus had said was going to happen. And what's fascinating is this all happened, they race to the tomb, they're all excited, he believes, and they go home. That's what it says. Then the disciples return to their homes. Bye, you can go now. It's over. This isn't very exciting, is it? Mind you, if I had run all that way to the tomb, been that exhausted, excited, I probably would be a little deflated as well. I know that when I get on a plane this afternoon, I'm going to do that. I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to go home after Easter. I'm going to sleep. But that's what they did the first Easter. It was very normal. They did what we would all do when totally taxed, they went home. No trumpets, no timpanis, no French horns, no bells, no choirs. They went home. Imagine if that's all that happened. Well, I wouldn't be looking at all of you lovely people this morning. If that's all that had happened, there would be no word on the street. But, Mary. Mary who loved Jesus still stood outside the tomb weeping. And then she looked over again at the tomb and she saw two angels. Now, Imagine if you'd run here this morning and you encountered two angels. I don't think you'd all be sitting there looking quite so complacent. Because seeing an angel must be very disturbing. And then two of them. And not only does she see them, they speak to her. They ask her, "Why are you weeping? Mary, what's your problem? What's going on?" And she says, "Where did you put him?" "Well, he's not here." So then she's totally down and out, probably, and turns around, and a man is standing there who says, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" And Mary thinks it's the gardener. How often do we do that? When we're walking on the street and a person asking for money is there, and we think that's just a person on the street asking for money. Or we're at the checkout and someone gives us our groceries and says, "Have a nice day," and you think, "Well, that was just the checkout girl." Or just the bus driver who took your ticket. Or just. Mary thought it was just the gardener. Mary, who had loved Jesus with all her heart and soul and followed him and still stood weeping, thought he was just the gardener. And then there's a turn in the story, because Jesus says to her, Mary. And with one word, her name, said with, I'm sure, love and affection and intimacy, she knows who he is. One word said in love and intimacy, her name, and it's all changed. Mary doesn't just go home. I can't blame her. I'd be a little excited at that moment. She finds the disciples and says, "I have seen the Lord, and this is what he told me, and this is what we're supposed to do. Can you believe it?" And the gospel ends. So this morning, we need to remember that this is not an event that just happened a long time ago, that we're here to sort of just pay lip service to. It's an event for us to encounter again for the first time with fresh eyes. When I was young, my paternal grandmother lived with us, and she used to feed me dried apricots. It was one of her favorite things. So, as a young child, it became one of my favorite things. They were better than Easter chocolate. Not because they were just good, but because my grandmother gave them to me. I had never seen, growing up in Western Quebec in those days, what a real apricot looked like. Some of you will understand this. So when I imagine my surprise when I went to the Okanagan in my late 20s and someone said, "Let's go look at the lovely fruit trees." It was September and it was warm and beautiful. And I said, "What are those things?" And my friend said, "Those are apricots." I was astonished. A, I didn't think they were that big, especially in the Okanagan. And then we ate one. And I will never forget tasting and seeing for the first time what a fresh, warmed by the sun apricot was like. It changed everything for me about those dried apricots. Because not only did it inform something much bigger than an experience, but it brought something new to the relationship I had with my grandmother all those years ago. And so if you come to my home, you will find I always have dried apricots. And I don't just think about them when I eat them, I think about new life, sun-warmed, and juicy freshness. That's how I hope we'll see the gospel today. Sun-warmed, new life with juicy freshness. We need to look at things with new eyes, with Easter eyes, because otherwise we forget what it's like to be filled with joy and freshness and appreciation for God's word. So that when we walk by someone on the street, we don't think they are just anyone. but that we think of them with the love that Jesus said to Mary, "Mary," and she recognized him. We have the opportunity when we leave this building today to speak to others with that kind of love that changes their life, that brings them maybe a new way of looking at things, and that, of course, brings us new perception. So may you enjoy the sun, may you enjoy the freshness, the juiciness of today's gospel, and may you indeed have fresh Easter eyes, so that we may speak those words of love to people who so badly in our world need to hear them. You and me and everyone we meet. Happy Easter.